Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of AeroCinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us through the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon. We have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Galland, the fighter general.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Hello, hello, hello! I am Mike Buzzard Hartman, and with me is Andy Ace Hines. Andy,
this is great. We are back, Mike.
We're back.
We're back, and we're on the air again.
I am so excited. I want to apologize to our fans that we kind of disappeared there for a little while.
Well, I think it had something to do with the drug rehab.
Yeah.
The jail time.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of other mitigating circumstances that we really can't talk about.
We
right
can't talk
now.
About it. I think we'll have a story written about us.
Yeah,
in
that
the
that hooker from Cincinnati. We won't talk about her.
But, thanks for bringing.
I don't know
it
how
up.
That happened.
I must say that here. Part of the agreement is we're no longer allowed in Cincinnati.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
You've been permanently banned from the Mud Hens game and whoever else is in there. Yeah.
Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing well right now, and you're at Oshkosh.
Yeah, this is Matt Jolly. I didn't give
producer.
Him
who?
Intro. Matt Jolly.
Oh,
producer.
The Matt Jolly?
No.
You forgot how it is to be on the air
no,
with us because we just interrupted.
One of them. Yeah,
a little ADD issue on my part.
What, squirrel?
Guess who we got with us? This is
well,
good.
It wouldn't be fair if I guessed because I'm looking right at him.
Well, I'm talking to the peeps.
Well. Rewind just a bit, because
okay.
This is your first show back on the air.
It
I
is.
Mean, this is.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We're on the radio show
at Oshkosh.
At Oshkosh. Big show, baby.
The big show.
Woo. Yes. Hello. Hi.
Yeah,
okay.
That's a.
No one really wants
no
to
one really
no.
Yeah, no, I don't blame them.
They look away.
They hide their heads down and they walk away. But you're back. And
no,
the name
it's
of
great.
The name of the show has not changed.
Yes.
It's no longer the Hartman and Hilt Show.
It's Skizzy and Elderberry.
Yes. Skizzy and Elderberry.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. The Hartman and it's the Hartman and what's his name?
Yeah, now. This it is now the Hartman and Hines show.
The Hartman and Hines show.
When we have him, and if Andy's not around, it'll be the Hartman and whoever show.
I love
but
it.
I'm hoping
when,
Andy
when is Andy not around?
Yeah. Why am I not around?
I don't know, but I'm hoping you're around.
Am I out
time.
Already?
I want you there every time. It's the Hartman and Hines show.
Yeah, the Hartman and Hines show, and yes. We're happy to have you back. And a lot of your fans have been writing in throughout the years and throughout the lean years. Yeah, no, and they just wanted to know where you were at. Your cheap equipment here is not now. Say something, Andy. They Yeah, I think it's the cable down below you there.
Yeah, fix the...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's fine.
How about now?
Oh, yeah, that's good, Andy. it's like a Waco. It needs some...
Today.
It needs some...
Late
TLC. DC
and M. Jensen. In intro, troll, do, su, sing, and D.D. Hines.
I love it.
Hello, Mike.
You joke.
Should we start over? Are we doing okay? I mean, it's been... Oh, whoa.
Test. Yeah, you like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you sounded like you were in a tunnel.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
If you can only hear what I just heard.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
That is crazy, isn't it?
Whoa.
I'm going to make noises now.
How do we do that?
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
That's pretty
intense.
Oh, man.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
We need to get one of these things for the hangar.
This is one. God, it's good to be back.
Oh, isn't it fun?
How's everybody doing out there? I mean, ooh.
Ooh.
So, ooh.
Ooh.
Ah.
Ooh.
Ee.
Wow, that's intense.
You like that?
That is. Can you recite The Raven by...
The Raven?
Oh! That sounds like one of the reasons we were off the air there.
Yeah, the drug rehab, that's... I was hearing those noises.
How are you feeling right now?
I feel good.
Andy, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Yeah, I had two helium balloons, an order of ostrich.
Ostrich?
Uh-huh. With bangers and mash.
Sounds like a cross between the chipmunks and... This is too much fun. Oh, my gosh.
All right, so now back on it, though. You're back now. You're live. And everything's going well.
This is great.
Yeah, and here with you, for Oshkosh.
Just for Oshkosh,
just for
special
Oshkosh.
Appearance.
Yeah, we dug him up from Plant City, Florida.
Down from the deep south.
A guy that has been, he told me off the air that he has 13 airplanes.
13 airplanes. This
13
guy
airplanes.
Has.
This is not Kermit Weeks.
No,
who we saw last night.
No.
By the way, this is the new budding aircraft hoarder of Florida.
Yes. Right, exactly.
Yeah. We're only going to give you his full name once.
Yeah.
Because what we're going to call him is his nickname.
His call sign.
Yes. This is Aaron Orville Perry. However, his nickname's Opie.
Yeah.
It's Aaron Opie Perry. However, Orville's his middle name, which is actually kind of cool because that's aviation.
You know,
right
one of my favorite pictures ever from the Marine Air Park, believe it or not, is of young Aaron.
Really?
Riding the motorcycle with a helmet and goggles on.
Yes. I mean,
right.
it's an iconic piece of Moraine Air Park art, right up there with the dogs playing poker. But it is
the velvet dogs playing poker.
The velvet dogs playing poker. But it's a great piece, I mean, of Aaron on this old motorcycle riding through the patch with this boyish look of joy in his eyes.
He needed a puppy dog in his lap.
Yeah. He needed a puppy dog and some daisies, maybe.
Some daisies,
it's like
Norman Rockwell.
And it is very Norman Rockwell-ish.
It is. Hey, let's ask Aaron, where'd you get that helmet and goggles there you were wearing?
I actually stole it out of a baggage compartment. It's Andy's Wilson goggles, original Wilson goggles.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Nothing like committing a felony, right?
Andy, were you happy about that?
You know, I was good with the whole thing right up to the point that I saw the picture and saw him riding with my Wilson goggles.
Yeah.
Because I knew he was going to
crash.
Yeah. when all else fails. Just
that is. Yeah. You have to.
I knew it. I knew it.
You're gonna hate this show when you hear
That's
it.
Okay. That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah. All right. Well yeah. Why don't we ask?
And
him
I don't want to give him the microphone. This is my time.
Yeah, okay. This is all about you.
It's all about me.
It's all about
Remember
Andy
the Andy Hines Fun Hour? What was that, episode 7?
Yeah, but Aaron's, Aaron is the...
All right, I'll give
bring
him...
That one up.
I'm going to relinquish this once.
Yeah, don't bring that up. But I do want to bring on... I want to talk to Aaron a little bit and have you guys... Because this is an incredible relationship that has developed over the years, Mike. I mean, Aaron now is 13... One of them's a Stearman biplane.
Yep.
Andy, you know better. What else is on? What else does he have in the hangar? Because I mean, it is phenomenal for a young guy.
He's got a Stearman biplane. He's got a Waco ASO, open cockpit biplane. He's got a Waco QDC, the first model of cabin that Waco built.
Yeah.
He's got a Waco UIC, which was built in 1933.
Right.
He's got a Waco DQC6 custom cabin.
What I'm hearing is he's a real fan of the Waco. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. He has a pit Karen. How many kids age own a pit Karen?
A mail wing.
Yep.
No
exactly.
Kidding.
You
no
know,
kidding.
He has a Dart made by Dart Aircraft in Columbus, Ohio.
That was not the Culver Dart.
No. This is before the Culver.
Wow.
This is an original Dart that came out with a radial engine. Guys.
We're gonna have a real guest in just a second here.
Okay.
Coming over.
Real guest.
No, I'm not saying that Aaron's not a real guest. When all else fails, just roll it over.
There we go.
Yeah. So, how did you? I got to know. How did you get all this stuff? I mean, I know, but I'm going to play stupid. That's called the radio stupid look. You just play stupid. How did you get all of this stuff, Aaron?
I was born into this hobby. My granddad started collecting airplanes back in the early 70s. The first project that he collected was
really
actually
what you're saying is you chose your parents and your grandparents well.
Yeah,
chose well.
I chose my parents and grandparents well. Both grandfathers have had their pilot's licenses, and my dad has his.
Okay. Hey, so anyway, Mike Buzzard Hartman here. So you've got all these projects. Is there anything that you're going to pick first to redo? Do you have an order to these things yet? What are you going to do? Your Stearman's pretty close, right? I mean, we're together.
The Stearman is actually the airplane that my grandpa restored.
Okay.
He restored it. It actually first flew. I was about 5 years old. Unfortunately, it flew and then was parked. So it's got a lot of problems with it that come from sitting in a hangar.
Probably some agua got to it. Yeah, maybe a little mud got in there or something. Any
exactly.
Critters? Sometimes there's critters that get inside them things.
Yeah, I had to chase a few coons away. Yeah, out of the tail.
Wow. Okay. And then like, what's next? What else do you think you'd work on there?
I actually. Diehard Waco fan, so
yes.
I've been convinced several times over to do the QDC first.
That would be
so
cool.
I would really like to restore the QDC.
That would be it. And let's talk about you aviation-wise. When did you decide you actually wanted to start flying, or was that kind of like a since birth thing and all that? When did you start flying? What do you have? Do you fly? I mean, you might not even fly. You might be into boats.
Always wanted to fly. Actually, I went to college at Florida State, go Seminoles, and came up and met Andy for the 50th Waco reunion in 2009. One summer later, I came up to Moraine Air Park, the best air park in the world.
Yes! Yes! let him say yes.
Yes.
Good, okay.
And it went from there. I got my... Got my pilot's license in a Grumman Traveler.
Oh.
Not too many people have done that, from what I understand. Next summer, came up and got my tailwheel endorsement. So the next on the list is my high performance, so I can fly my Stearman.
All right. That sounds good. Shout out to the boys down there that are doing maintenance. Can you give those guys a shout out?
Oh, to Buckeye Aviation
who
are now one of my hangar partners.
Hangar partners?
Yes. Because you forget, we have now what used to be the Waco hangar down there.
Yes.
We now have had to sign a lease.
Yes.
And so Buckeye Aviation is now one of my partners.
In the hangar.
That's correct.
Fixing stuff. You got Matt Akers down there, and what's his name? Dave Angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jeremy, I don't remember his last name.
Right.
But anyway, let's get back to Aaron.
Okay.
All right. So you did start out doing some tailwheel stuff then. You've got that going for you.
Yep. The majority of my time in my logbook right now is in tailwheel.
Okay. You've got
to Andy in part and Mike Lucas, who let me fly their Sky Ranger, which was that's probably been my favorite plane so far. Very slow, but very fun.
Yes, that is a fun airplane to fly. And news update on the Sky Ranger. That was down. I don't know if we were still doing the Hartman and Hilt show or not when that was...
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but it's been down for a little over a year. And, Aaron broke it, and then he moved back to Florida.
Yeah, that's why he left.
And, it was in the middle of the night.
It was.
You know, I woke up the next morning. Where's Aaron?
Where is he?
There's nothing in the room. It's cleaned out.
Oh.
It's clean. I go down to the hangar.
Yeah.
There's a sign on the rear one. Broken till next year.
Oh, I see.
It was crazy.
But unfortunately, the darn thing was broke.
Yep. It had a cracked engine case.
Cracked in the case.
You know why?
Why?
Because Aaron was running it like he was running Reno.
Oh.
Full throttle. All the time, everywhere.
You know, can you imagine a Sky Ranger race at Reno?
Oh.
It would take 4 hours to go around the course. They're coming through the Valley of Speed now.
Yeah.
1 hour later, yeah. And they're still in the Valley of Speed.
Here they come. Yes. They're still coming.
Good flying airplane, though, the Sky Ranger.
So anyway, we overhauled the engine, and we just got it back together here Thursday and then left for Oshkosh Friday. So the airplane has not been test flown yet, but we'll get that done when we get back.
Okay. All right. Speaking of engines, Aaron, how many engines do you have laying around? I mean, you've got to have
I can't count.
You can't count? Well, school, if you go to school, they'll teach you that, you know. All right, bad joke. Radio silence. So you got a bunch of engines. Any round engines?
Yes, I actually have a restored Continental A70, which was the predecessor to the Continental W670 or R670, which you'll find on Stearman's today.
Yes. About like Waco UPF7s?
My granddad actually still owns two.
Oh, okay. See that engine on a Waco UPF7?
Yes.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead, continue.
Well, not an A7.
Yeah, you would.
No. Yep.
No. No. No? Okay. We got to listen to him on this one.
Yeah. Well, no, he'd find the A70 on that Waco QDC that he has.
Okay. All right. That's another show, getting into all that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you got that. Now, what else do you have? Do you have a 985? Because I'm thinking if you got one of those, that Stearman could be a screaming Mimi.
If I had one, it would go on the Stearman. Unfortunately, I don't have one.
Okay. And...
how about a Lenape Papoose, though?
Oh, wow. On a Stearman?
On a Stearman.
Single-bladed prop.
You'd be the only one flying around like that, that's for sure.
If it flies, you're going to be bladow.
It would make a really good go-kart. I don't think it would get off the ground.
With a single-bladed prop with the counterbalance.
Yeah, an Everil propeller.
Yes.
That would be
awesome. Nice. That would be.
That would be scary, but it would be awesome.
I'm noticing something about your wardrobe, and it's on your head. You have an IAC hat on. Would you like to explain that? Are you an aerobatic guy? Do you like aerobatics?
I am a secret aerobatics fan. I would really love to learn. In fact, one of my dream airplanes is a Pitts S1C.
Okay. Well, cool. We're going to get back to that in a little while. We're going
to
go ahead.
I want to take a second, your producer again, to say to Aaron that I'm really happy he's here. I'm thankful to be in his presence.
Glad to be here.
And I wish you'd post more pictures of those Florida State girls that you know, because Andy really enjoys the pictures, and I know Mike does as well. But yeah, I'm going to go there because we need to love on Andy a little bit. I mean,
we need to love on. What do you?
I called him the other day, and I was like, Andy, I'm like, you been doing anything? And he's like, well, I'm in the hangar and. Nothing's working. The airplane's broken. And
were you in a down?
I'm just, not. You know, it's just. He went on for like. I don't know what he said. He went on for like 5 minutes. But basically, what it boiled down to was, he's taking up fishing. He's gonna follow Patrick into the walleye movement, I hear. So,
well, I'll tell you,
he's one step away from buying a boat. I'm getting worried.
Oh no need to worry.
I'm getting worried.
I think the fishing is just something to kind of
just a passing fancy,
perhaps. Yes.
Some cavorting of his
own. Yes. Well, I tell you what, if it's okay, can I have Andy take us to break?
Take us to break, Andy.
Andy, I love when you do this. Take us out.
Because guess who's coming up next? We have some guests from across the pond.
Across the pond?
Who are going to be here.
All right.
I told them that all has been forgiven, and we're happy to have them.
Happy to have them here.
We're happy to have them here.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Andy, sing us out.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We're going to talk to everybody here in just a moment.
That's perfect timing. The B-17 taking you out. The beautiful
that was,
music.
That was good. That was good.
Great.
You did okay. You still stutter a little bit, but that's okay. We'll be back.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of Aero Cinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us through the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
When the population is suffering in such a terrible way, and we have a good weapon, we have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Galland, the fighter general.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Reminding you that radial engines don't leak oil.
They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And howdy. Notice I didn't say hello. We are back. Andy, take us in.
All right, well, we've got a guest here.
This is Mr. Yes, we do. Mr. Stephen Bridgewater.
In case you all know. The way from the U.K.,
Andy has senior moments, so he'll start calling you Zeb or
Xenon.
Yeah.
Yes. We've got Milford here.
Yes, Milford. Milford Hollandaise from
Milford,
from
good
Scotland.
To see
from somewhere we've never heard of before. Yes.
Yeah, he's going to be in each one of those cute little countries that are all around England.
Yeah, the other places. Yes.
Cute little country.
Merry old. I have an idea. I
okay.
mean, you guys are rather famous for this.
Yes.
Should we sing him in? Sing in Stephen a little bit. I think that's appropriate.
What are we saying?
Hartman. What? Shame on you.
You know, I mean, when I'm on the spot, I can't.
I think a song that
Johnny
that's
Cash,
reminiscent.
Probably.
Reminiscent. No. I think this is a great moment for old Danny Boy. I really do. I think this is...
You have to really explain the meaning behind this.
No, you don't. You just have to sing and belt it out. You ready?
All right. Oh, Danny boy,
even rolled in
the pipes are calling.
Oh, yes.
From glen to glen and down the mountainside. Okay, we don't know where to go from there.
Yeah, that's great. We don't know the rest of the words.
It sounded like we were in a hall.
Yeah, well, we did. We could, you want this one? Try that one on.
Hello, hello.
Yes.
Hello. Oh, Danny boy.
Oh, yeah, that's even like old Elvis, vintage Elvis.
Crazy, yeah.
Vintage Elvis. All right, so Steven's here.
Steven, you are the editor of Jets Magazine.
I am indeed. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Why don't you tell
us? You just took this to a new level of class right there, Steven. I love it. I love it.
I know. The show just went up a notch. You know? Yes.
Yeah. Patty's off bass fishing, and now we have Brits on the show.
I know. That's great. That's great. All right, why don't you tell us a little bit about this? How long you guys been around? Where are you going? What are you doing?
The magazine was launched about 3 years ago in the UK. Okay. We've been sold in the US all that time as well. We're from a company called Kelsey Publishing, and we also produce a magazine called Aeroplane Monthly, which you may be more familiar with.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, whereas Aeroplane looks after all sorts of vintage aeroplanes, we are, as the title suggests, Jets.
Okay.
Although we let the odd turboprop slip in, but we're more of an era, the early jet era, that 1950s, 60s, the glamorous days of flying.
Okay. Okay. So, cool.
Yeah. So we're full of really exciting aeroplanes, such as F-86 Sabres, and the real aeroplanes like Gloucester Meteors and de Havilland Vampires and Venoms.
Oh, Gloucester Meteor.
Exactly. Yes. Those sort of aeroplanes.
He may know something about the Ryan Fireball, even. I mean, Fireball.
I'll tell you what. When you start talking about the Fireball,
I'm just saying.
Are you familiar with the Ryan Fireball?
We did an article on the Ryan Fireball not that long ago.
You're kidding.
We did.
Amazing. I'd like a copy of that.
I'm sure we can find you one.
Because I need to find an actual Ryan Fireball.
Wouldn't that be a dream come true?
That would be a great air show routine, too.
Wouldn't
it?
Yeah.
Man. I love it. So, do you fly yourself?
I do. I hold what we call in the UK a national private pilot's license, which is a bit similar to your sport pilot.
Okay.
So it's got less stringent medical requirements. I've got a very, very minor heart condition, which we found during my initial medical.
Okay. During that first 9G pull that he did.
Yeah.
In a Gloucester Meteor. I mean, he was the editor for Jets had to fly. And he's flown with like all kind of teams, too. I mean,
really?
It's a perk of the job. You know, we get to play with some nice toys. And the aeroplanes that we've got on our current front cover there, Fallen Gnats, which were the first aeroplanes used by the Red Arrows.
Yes.
And I got to do a couple of sorties in the Gnats last year, which is an interesting aeroplane. It's
tiny.
It's like strapping on a roller skate. It really is. You sit so low.
I have a question. I've never asked this before. Producer Matt here. Why do the Brits name every airplane after something that makes you feel... Well, less of a man, perhaps, for flying. I mean, I fly a de Havilland Chipmunk.
Yeah.
I mean, the Gnat? What is the...
Wait a minute. The whole premise of the show, we usually don't stay on topic.
But, Mike, what is my favorite British airplane? I want to be able to taxi up to the pumps and say... Fill up my Snargasher, boys.
Oh, yeah.
The Snargasher.
The Desmond
Snargasher. But,
Steven,
seriously,
I mean,
it's a series.
You know, in the 1930s, we had an aeroplane called the Handley Page Clive.
The Clive.
Yeah,
I know.
That's really going to instill terror in the enemy, isn't it? Oh, my word, it's the Clive.
It's the Clive.
Clive.
Look out for Clive.
I mean, we're saying this, and tonight we're all going to be like...
And you think about that, mosquitoes. I'm just going to swat this one away.
Yeah.
Little mosquito. Jeffrey de Havilland designed some of the most iconic airplanes... Of the era.
Yep.
But the naming, I mean, I don't understand it. So I tell people that I fly a DHC-1B.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I fly a de Havilland. And then they go, oh, yes. And they're like, what? Which one is it? Is it the Beaver? And I'm like, no, it has big teeth, but it's the chipmunk.
Now, wait a minute. I remember you flying another de Havilland-made product.
That tried to kill me.
The fire-breathing tiger moth.
Here
it tried
we
to
go
kill
again.
You? That trained thousands of people, and it terrified you.
It did terrify
you. You know the good thing about watching a buzz job in a tiger moth? You get to watch it all day long.
It's nice. Yeah.
I'm seeing a provost in here, right?
Indeed.
I actually, that's like the only jet I actually got to fly around in.
Isn't it a nice aeroplane?
Yeah. No, it actually wasn't bad.
It's ponderous.
It was pretty neat.
I'll tell you a story about the Jet Provost. The first time I flew a Jet Provost, I was working for a magazine called Today's Pilot, which was a general aviation private flying magazine in the UK. And I got the chance to go and do an interview with a guy who owned a jet provost, and we had a series called Owning and Operating. So it was about,
okay,
what's it like to own? How much oil does it use? Can you get the tyres for it? What are the brakes like? That sort of thing. And we turned up at the airfield, had a couple of drinks the night before. And he said, come on, let's go flying. So we strapped into this jet provost, and he said, here's the checklist. You know, do you want to get it started? Sure, I'll get it started.
Sure.
And we taxied out. He said, if you want to do the takeoff, I'll follow you through on the controls. Yeah. So we got it airborne, and we flew around for 20 minutes, half an hour, got it back on the ground and wound the canopy. And he said, gee, Steve, he said, that was really good. How many flying hours have you got? I said, 10. He said, I'm sorry? I said, I've just started my private pilot's license. I've got 10 hours. He said, you've just flown a jet provost solo. I mean, that's what they were designed to do.
Yeah.
The fire-breathing tiger moth, though. The provost
is not like a tiger moth.
No.
In all fairness, I've flown a number of tiger moths over these. They don't go where you want them to go, do they?
No, they don't. Fire-breathing.
It's a hands-on
fire-breathing tiger.
You know, it is.
Yeah, you move the column to the left, the airplane goes right. It's a stubborn British airplane.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
It's a man-eater, a tiger moth. Right up there with the glorified puss moth, but I mean the tiger moth. Woo.
Now, as far as moths go,
real stripes on that machine, you know.
You know, you got a gypsy moth,
yeah,
and tiger moth.
But again, now Stephen focuses on jets.
Let's get back to jets.
But we like all sorts of aeroplanes.
Give me some of the cool jets you've gotten to go up into here, Stephen.
Oh, I got the chance to fly with the Breitling jet team a few years ago, who fly L-39s. Fly with a guy called Dookie, who was an ex-French Air Force Mirage 2000 pilot. And we were flew out of RAF Fairford, American Air Force Station in Gloucestershire. And we were flying close formation with seven jets. And he was singing and whistling all the way around the aeroplane. He said, please excuse me if I do that. It's how I keep calm.
Because right now, I'm scared out of my gourd.
Yeah, so I'm whistling a little bit.
The Vampire, got a chance to fly the Vampire, which was a really interesting aeroplane.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
As well as the magazine work that I do, I used to be the commercial director for a collection of aeroplanes that we've got down in the south of England, which used to be called the Air Atlantique Classic Flight. We're now called the Classic Air Force. And I've worked for those on and off. Well, I started off at the age of 18 as a volunteer. I helped rebuild one of their aeroplanes, took a gap year out of university to do that. And ended up in my early 20s being their commercial director. So it just sort of proves that volunteering leads somewhere.
Wow.
And gave that up to go and work in the magazine industry again. And I go back every now and again and do work for them. But we've got a collection of really eccentric British aeroplanes. We've got a Scottish Aviation Twin Pioneer. Any idea what a Twin Pioneer looks like?
Oh, yeah, I know what a Twin Pin looks
like.
Yeah.
Listen to that, Twin Pin.
I know what a Twin Pin looks like,
Twin engine tail.
I mentioned fire-breathing javelin tiger moth.
And it's Scottish, right? It's a Scottish...
It came out of Prestwick. It was designed in Prestwick by Scottish Aviation. It's a twin engine tail dragger with three tail fins on it. It was designed to go in and out of jungle strips for the British Armed Forces.
Oh, you mean a twin pin.
Wow. A twin pin.
I got that.
We've got a twin pin. We've got a couple of Dragon Rapides. We've got a Chipmunk.
Nice, manly airplane.
British-Canadian aeroplane.
You know...
And then we've got the jets. We've got two Gloucester Meteors that we fly.
Two of them.
There are five in the world. We've got two of them in our collection down there. And
that's
they are
amazing.
Just the sexiest aeroplanes.
Oh, yeah. They're good-looking birds.
One of our aeroplanes, 1948. It's the oldest British jet aeroplane flying anywhere in the world. It's a really incredible aeroplane.
Wow.
Now, I can tell you, I had an experience with a de Havilland Dragon Rapide.
I knew it was coming.
Yep.
He tells
I
this.
Went up
he
in a de Havilland Dragon Rapide.
Here we go again.
And I was so impressed that the moment we lifted off, I fell asleep, and I didn't wake up until we were taxiing in.
Yes.
You are not the only person to do that. My wife did exactly the same thing. We took the Dragon Rapide up to Scotland. We flew up to Perth Airfield in Scotland, which was about 3 hours with a fueling stop.
Yeah.
She was awake for the fueling stop, and she was asleep for most of the rest of the way up north. We've got a phrase for the Dragon Rapide. We say it's a gentleman's aerial carriage.
It is.
And
it
that
is.
It's that sedate, glamorous era.
Andy, tell us a little bit more about the Dragon Rapide. Let's see if we can do this again. We gotta get this right, though. Okay, tell us a little bit more about the falling asleep in the Dragon Rapide.
Tell us about
just a little bit more.
Well, I went up in the Dragon Rapide, and the moment we became airborne, I fell asleep.
Yes.
And I slept right through the flight.
Okay.
And then I didn't wake up until we were taxiing in.
He's going to hate this show when he hears it for the first time. Yeah.
You know, I'm glad that you're having fun at my expense. Today?
There you go. You don't even need to do that.
Okay, all right, great. Okay, back to Steve.
Back to Steven. Hold on, Steven. Let me make sure we have that off. Yes. We don't want you to sound like Alan the Chipmunks. Yes. Anyhow.
All right, so what are you looking at maintenance-wise on these things? I mean...
That's the biggest problem that we have is getting people... particularly young engineers. I've got a real bee in my bonnet. The first magazine that I edited was called Air Action.
I'm going to write
that
back down
in 2000.
Bee in my bonnet.
Yeah, you never heard that before?
I'm going to write that down. Okay. That's a good
one. I think
one to
Google
use.
Translate will probably sort
that
out one for you.
That's a great one. I like that one. I like that. Jamie's going to have some work.
The first magazine I did was aimed at getting a new generation involved in aviation, whether it was flying or maintenance or air traffic, anything like that. And I've kept that sort of ethos in everything that I've done. And we really struggle to get a new generation that want to work on these aeroplanes. Sure. You've got somebody who wants to work on a wooden fabric aeroplane or on an early turbine. Everybody's coming out of AME school at the moment working on composites and PT6s.
Yeah,
and that's
no
use to us. So what we try to do is bring people through and mentor them through into that old way of working. But it's a very limited number of opportunities for them. So we've got a good, loyal sort of... base of people that want to work for us, and a great amount of volunteers. We can't do what we do without volunteers. And the bulk of our collection is based at a place called Coventry, and there are a lot of aircraft manufacturers that used to be around there, so we get those people to come in and work on them again.
Okay, well, great.
Mike, we have to pay a few bills.
Okay, look, we got to take a break here. So
then we're going to have Jamie and Stephen on.
Oh, good.
And we're going to bring Aaron back.
We're going to bring Aaron back.
Can we have
Andy on, too, again?
Well, maybe. You want to sing us out? You want to sing us out, Andy?
Andy, you got to take us
out.
Yeah,
sing us out a little bit, Andy. Yeah. Give us some golden tones.
Something
from Andy Hines.
Something exciting.
Andy Leroy Hines, ladies and gentlemen, stepping up.
It's a long way to Tipperary. It's a long way to go.
Yes!
It's a long way to Tipperary. To the sweetest girl I know.
Oh, yeah, get in the groove now. All right, we'll be right back with more of the Hartman and Hines show right after this.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of Aerocinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us through the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon. We have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Galland, the fighter general.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And hello. It's Mike Buzzard Hartman. I'm here with Andy Hines and Matt Jolly. And this is the Hartman and Hines Show. And Stephen, who we were talking about, or talking to earlier.
Yes.
You've got someone you want to introduce to us.
I have. We were talking earlier about this new generation into aviation. Well, this is my 10th year at Oshkosh. Right. And I brought someone across with me this year who I consider to be the youthful face of aviation journalism, somebody that I wanted to bring to Oshkosh for the very first time. And we spent yesterday walking around the airfield, which I call Mecca. It is aviation Mecca. And he was like a kid in a candy store. So we've got a guy called Jamie Ewan.
Okay. You know,
pay attention to this, folks. This is the future of aviation publishing worldwide.
All right.
Oh, and here he is. He's coming in right now in the Model T.
Hello.
Yes.
Jamie, how you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
This has to be amazing for you.
I can't stop looking around. I feel quite rude sometimes speaking to somebody when it's like, oh, so how are you? And it's like, oh, that's a B-17.
Yeah, exactly.
And what I've always found for the first-time person, you're used to going to a show and there might be one or two warbirds or three or four.
Yeah.
And you look over behind us and there's 10 or 12 P-51s sitting there, you know, and a P-40
yeah.
and a Yak. And it's just amazing to people when they first come here, you know, wait till middle of the week when there's 25 or 30 P-51s sitting right here.
It is.
Or the Thruxton Jackaroo. Let's not leave that out.
It's one of those things. We were standing around yesterday looking at various bits of bobs and we'd hear something break into the circuit. We'd look up, it's like, oh, it's another P-51. It's about 8 or 9 today, so that'll be fine.
Well, that was just going to say, this is your first year. And I was going to kind of bring us into this, but Andy kind of jumped in anyway. Andy is a 29-year vet. So why don't you go ahead and do some interviewing stuff here about Oshkosh?
Well, you know, like you said, 29 years, been here. And, of course, my forte has been on the antiques.
We're going to have to get the producer on that eventually.
But I am a warbird guy because I always make a trip to warbirds every single day. So I guess my first question to you is, have you made it out of warbirds yet?
Well, it's funny you say that. Last night, we came down to shoot the sunset, and Steve was saying we should go check into the hotel. And I think about an hour later, I finally said, yeah, we can go check into the hotel now. Every time I sort of finish a shot, I'd sort of look and think, right, we can head. Nope, another shot to take. It's amazing. And the difference between them, the US warbirds and the UK warbirds, is the fact that they're presented so much better. You know, you've got oil stains down them, you've got oil dripping off them, particularly the Sky Raider. Ours all in the UK are completely pristine, and I don't like that.
Well, and that's the thing here, you know, you can get right up to the airplanes. Sometimes you'll meet the owners, especially with you guys being from the UK, you get to talk to some of the owners. They'll probably let you sit in the airplanes, you know, which is kind of the coolest thing. You know, but you know what I highly suggest is look at everything here. Go all the way to the very end at the south end, you know, which is North Fond du Lac, and look at all the airplanes that are down there. There are a lot of interesting classics and antiques all the way to the end. You know, of course, there's the home builds here, which started this whole thing, and then the warbirds. It changes every day. And that's the neatest thing, is that every day there's something new to see, you know. So make the full gamut.
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 23.
Okay, he's 20. Aaron's 23 as well, right?
25.
I'm sorry. Jeez, I'm a little bit off on the old Aaron over here. Okay, but, yeah, I was going to see, I mean, you guys are kind of close in age and everything. I mean, how many years you been here?
My first year was 2009, and I've been here every year since, except last year.
Now, what's your advice to our young friend here? Do you got any Oshkosh advice?
Camp.
Camp.
Come and camp on the grounds. Don't stay in a hotel.
Okay.
That's the best thing in the world is waking up to the Aeroshell T6s, taking off for their early morning practice run, and taking the leisurely stroll down to Warbirds. With Andy and Mike.
Yes. Bah! Yeah, it's nice. It's good. It's good. It's fun. It's a good wake-up call.
Oh, I can imagine.
Have you seen these guys perform yet?
I haven't, no.
Oh, man. How long are you guys staying?
We're here till Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. You get to see everything. Okay. The night show, that's really cool, too. And the Warbird show, start doing, I mean, it's constant. And things flying over, you're going to love it. It's great. It's great. Now, do you fly?
Now and again, I'm in the process of trying to get my PPL back home.
Oh, that's okay, okay.
I want to ask him a question, though, because I have heard rumor.
Hi.
I'm back. I've heard rumor. I was out for a dawdle. I've heard rumor, though, that Jamie has a new call sign.
Oh, we love these.
There was a great story about a call sign that I think the Hartman and Hines show could probably appreciate.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a good one.
Basically, what happened was back at an airfield in the UK called Bruntingthorpe, we've got some running Buccaneers, some Blackburn Buccaneers. They're absolutely gorgeous jets. And the first time I went down to sort of take pictures of them, sort of for the group that look after them, the teabaggers, I asked, oh, could I help, you know, make some brews or, you know, sweep up? I arrived and they handed me some coveralls and said, take the nose wheel off this jet. Okay, grand. So I was indoctrinated into it. On the first night after the event, we were having a bit of a drinking session. And
you Brits never do
oh,
that.
Oh, no. Not at all.
Yeah,
this was my first time ever with a beer. And the best drink to drink is gin. Mm. And everyone drinks gin, so it was gin o'clock. However, after a litre of gin and a litre of whiskey, collapsed on the floor.
Yeah.
Just into a slumber on the floor,
yes.
To which my nickname is now Fetal.
Yes.
Fetal.
I'm lying on the floor
I
in
love
the fetal
it.
Position.
Andy Fetal Hines.
Wait a minute now. You know what? That reminds me of a Christmas party at my house.
Oh,
and
boy.
Why don't we get to this one?
Oh, his mic just died again.
It
just died. You gotta jiggle the cord again.
I was gonna say after our next break because.
Oh yeah, know, even better. Yeah,
we gotta bring Opie back in for that.
We do.
One.
We do. Yeah.
I gotta mention this. We actually have a fetal, and that would be Opie Perry here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, yeah. As an on-air fist bump. Nobody
yep.
saw that. But
from across the pond, the two have met. Finally.
They locked fists.
Yes,
yes,
I love it. I love it. I have to say, Jamie, I'm looking forward to seeing your work in Stephen's many magazines, jets, and in probably Aeroplane. But I want to know when you leave here. I hope you'll come and stay in touch with us and tell us what you've seen. And I apologize about that crappy mic cable that we... There's another one around here. We're going to get it in there.
It's awesome to see younger generations getting into aviation, especially, you know, you're getting into this, you know, and the jets. That's great. I don't think there's enough emphasis on jets from the 50s. And, you know, we don't see a lot of that. You know, we do see a lot of the World War II birds and everything. But, I think eventually we'll start seeing some more come out there, you know. So, but, yeah, it's great that you're doing this.
There is literally nothing better than seeing...
Push that cable in there. There you go.
Take
that wheel off that jet.
Yeah, take the wheel. What's that? Go ahead.
There's nothing better than seeing a classic jet scream through the sky.
It's
and,
neat.
I don't know if you use it here, but we have a term back home, like a homesick angel.
Yes.
Watching them climb like homesick angels, sometimes you've got to put the camera down and just watch it, and it's spot on.
Yeah. You have to sort of be in the moment.
Yeah.
Not try and capture it, but just be in the moment. Yeah. Well, I think you're going to get to do some of that today. And especially at all week long here at AirVenture, an incredible time. Now, by the time this hits the air, the Hartman and Hines show, this is sort of like a concuss, I guess a bomb wave will go off, and this concussion will fall out. And I just want to warn you right now that when the young ladies start riding you after being on this show, just to... But don't fall for it, because it's probably not young ladies. It's probably some 60-year-old man in his mother's basement who's riding you. So don't fall victim to that.
Yes. Or it's Andy and I just messing
probably,
with you.
Yeah, probably so. So
my name's Chelsea.
so you're fair warned, but thanks for coming on.
No, thank you very much
so
for having
cool
me.
So cool to see him, yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's great.
That's the great thing about Oshkosh is you get guys from you know, England,
yes,
and from South Dayton, Ohio,
the whole spectrum.
And, I mean, all the way from even Indiana's here.
I know,
Muncie, I hear
nonstop.
They're here. Yeah, nonstop.
It's amazing.
Nonstop.
This is great. It's great. It's heaven on earth here.
Well, you have to take a quick break, and then when you come back, I hope you can round out with some Pete Hines. Perhaps, and maybe the Hines brothers will sing and juggle for us.
I don't know. We'll have to see if
but
we
the,
can.
The musical brother's not here tonight.
Oh, well, yeah,
is
he's
he?
Not here right
he's
now.
He's not here right now. Did he
he's
bring a banjo?
Yeah, he usually travels with a banjo.
Yeah, now isn't that scary, Steven?
That's
Barry.
Yeah, all the way from West Virginia. Yeah. Yeah. Here now with a lovely rendition of Spread Those Cheeks, Boys. Yeah, right? Here
we go. Whoa, Lord.
Yeah, right down there to the center there.
Matt, you do have a pretty
telling
mouth.
You.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice lips there, boys.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess.
Speaking of West Virginia, Scooter Yoke's over here, and he didn't come over. That's why we had to throw in the punch for West Virginia. Quicksilver made it in.
Oh, yeah, there it is.
Right
there.
Over there, the West Virginia beauty over there.
And all of its glory. Yes. Okay.
All right, so you can take your break and we'll come back.
You want to take? Okay, we're going
to
take
a break. I'd like to have you sing us out again, I mean, with something. Producer here. You have to entertain
the audience.
Andy, I don't
know any
songs.
I got nothing. Okay.
Well, I have something. I think in honor of tonight's performance.
Yes.
By Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins.
Who is performing here tonight with the Danger Zone.
Yes.
Did you bring your mirrored glasses and your
Top
Gun
That's
shirt?
It, yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't expect less from Jets, you know. All right, tonight we're all going to Tom Cruise it up and have some fun with Talk to Me Goose. Would you like to sing a little
is
Kenny
that
Loggins?
What we're going
to
do?
A little Danger. You already have your Ray-Bans on.
Yeah, but this is a Mike Buzzard Hartman look. You notice I went to mirrors?
Well, I noticed that.
Isn't that nice?
They're like my spinner on my man-eating chipmunk.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Yes, well, we'll talk about
the rodent with wings.
Yes. Highway to the Danger.
Hang on. Try it again. Now.
Highway to the Danger Zone. All right.
One more verse?
I don't know any verses. Oh, my God. This sounds crazy. Holy cow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're selling used cars down here all Sunday.
Here you go.
That's great. We'll be right back.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Now showing on aerocinema.com.
The end of 1941 saw German ace Adolf Galland promoted to General of the Fighters. In part two of AeroCinema's exclusive series, Galland takes us inside Hitler's inner circle and reveals the secret plans for one of World War II's boldest operations, Operation Thunderbolt, the Channel Dash.
Hitler, he wanted to have the capital ships in Norway. He said he knew that this operation would be extremely dangerous.
Galland pilots us through the collapse of Germany, the infighting in the Luftwaffe High Command, and the follies of Hitler and Göring.
He did not understand what was going on. Hitler's thinking was only aggressive. He could only follow the bomber.
Discover what inspired Galland to continue fighting in a war all but lost, and the one aircraft which might have changed history.
And the population is suffering in such a terrible way that we have a good weapon, we have to continue to fight.
Join us as we learn about the man behind the legend, Adolf Galland, the fighter general.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC Scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show here on Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
Reminding you that radio engines don't leak oil. They just mark their territory. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And... we're back! I love Oshkosh. You didn't give me the point that time. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you well. You know, okay. I feel really important.
Hello! Hi! All right, he's giving me the point now. You feel really important.
Because I'm wearing a headset now.
Well, I know. Isn't it pretty amazing?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Matt, real quick, can you give him what you were doing a little earlier? You can't...
Yeah.
Oh,
well.
Oh, all right. Hey, who do we got? He's messing with. Okay, who do we got here? Take us to our next guest here.
Well, we have probably the most famous air racing Waco pilot in the world.
and he has the highest amount of time in this certain air racer as any pilot did.
Yeah, the oldest surviving pilot
of
the Waco CRG.
Waco CRG. We've got Pete Hines here, and oddly enough, he's got the same last name as you.
That's because he's my brother.
Oh!
Yeah.
Pete,
yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing just fine here. It's a pleasure to be with you today. And I just wanted to kind of share some of the great experiences in flying this wonderful airplane over the years.
Okay, so anyway, let's move on.
Wow. Sibling rivalry here. Pete, when did you acquire the aircraft?
Acquired the aircraft back in 1964.
Okay. And what year is the airplane?
1930.
And it was purpose-built for the?
Ford Reliability Tour, which was a 5,000-mile race around the country.
Okay. And this airplane, how did it play? How many years did it fly in that race, and when? How did it place?
It didn't fly in the race for years, Michael.
It only took a matter of a couple weeks to fly the 5,000
miles. Did it in a different year.
That's what airplanes are used for. You know, they are time savers.
Wow.
I've never heard of a year-long air race. That would be crazy.
I didn't. Oh, man, you Hines guys are tough. Anyway, you rebuilt the airplane. You are now the high-time pilot in the Waco CRG.
Yes, it's been just wonderful being there, high-time pilot in the world. And
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, good. That's
right.
Good. You got a pretty piece of an airplane there. It's a good bird.
Kept me honest over the years. It's kept me out of the dark bars and the bordellos.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah, huh.
Do you have any questions?
Well, because he's been in an air race for years. That's why.
Yes, years.
Yeah.
Well, how many times were the CRGs in this particular race?
Once.
And they came in second and third?
That is correct.
Okay.
Second place at an average speed of 148 miles an hour for 5,000 miles, grueling miles.
Wow. Wow. What were these guys judged on?
Well, they were judged on speed is one thing, but that was not the major thing. How quickly the aircraft could become airborne, payload, how quickly the aircraft could land and come to a stop. And so at each stop, you know, they would be judged on these different things. And it was a timed event, obviously, you know. But, I mean, it started in Dearborn, Michigan, you know, and went all the way out to Western Canada.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine flying all the way out there in 1930?
Man.
There's not much out there.
And then from there down to Oklahoma, back to Cincinnati, and back to Dearborn.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
CRG won everything as far as what they called the stick and unstick time.
Okay.
And the speed. The only thing that they lost out on was the load carrying capability.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And then and part of the whole thing with the race was in it started in 1925, the Ford Air Tours. And in 1928 and 29, Waco won the Ford Air Tours. And if you won three times in a row, or not three times in a row, but three times total, you won permanent possession of the trophy.
Okay.
But in 1930, Ford decided to change the rules. And so they changed the rules, so really all that could win was a Ford Trimotor.
Was the Trimotor. And that's, you know, that's bogus if you ask me.
Well, and Waco built two of these CRG models to compete. They were special. And then Ford entered three Trimotors. Well, when it was all said and done,
yes,
the Trimotor placed first. My family's Waco CRG placed second, and the other CRG placed third.
Okay.
Ours was flown by Johnny Livingston.
Yes.
The other one was flown by Art Davis.
Okay, yes.
And then in 1931, you know, I mean, everybody cried foul at the end of the air tour when they gave the trophy to Ford. So in 1931, hardly any of the manufacturers participated that year.
Okay.
And so it was, you know, the field was cut in about half. Waco elected not to participate, saw no point in it. And so what they did...
Say cheese.
Cheese.
All right.
And so what they did was... went ahead and did the air tour in 31. Ford won it again.
And then they just decided to keep the trophy, and they never held the race ever again.
Well, I think that should be changed again. We need to run this race again, darn it. Pete, how many years you been coming here, man?
To Oshkosh?
Yeah.
I guess since the beginning. On and off. First trip was to Rockford back in 63.
Yeah, okay.
And first took the CRG to Oshkosh in 75.
Wow, okay, so, okay.
Yeah.
So now what keeps you coming back, Pete?
The camaraderie of my fellow aviators and all the great information that I acquire while I'm here.
Yes, yes. And if anybody knows about PA-11 cowlings, write in. We've got some measurement issues that we got to work on. But, Pete, thank you for being here today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And we love having you. So, anyway, we're going to head out and take a break here. Oh, no, we're finishing this. We're done. There's episode one, folks. Hope y'all enjoy. Are you finished yet? Okay. Later. Oh, okay. All right, am I still on?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Andy, want to say anything? Are you excited?
Hey, I'm excited. We're back.
We're back.
Back, and we're at the big show.
We're gonna try this once or twice a month, I think.
Yes.
So hopefully we get our listeners back, and sorry we were gone for so long, but we're back, and we're going to get this thing going.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you much. Bye.